This is BayCare Health Chat. Join us as we explore the essential service of pediatric emergency care with the pediatric emergency medicine physician, Dr. Juan Carlos Abanzas. I'm Amanda Wild, your host. Dr. Abanzas, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Can you explain the difference, first of all, between what you are, a pediatric emergency room physician, versus a pediatrician?
Sure. So for pediatric emergency medicine, there's two ways of going into it. But either way, you have to do a residency first, and then you have to do a fellowship. So you either have to do a pediatric residency, which is what the majority of the physicians of pediatric emergency medicine do. So they usually go on to do a pediatric residency, which is 3 years of training, followed by another 3 years of a pediatric emergency medicine fellowship. You can do emergency medicine residency first and then go into pediatric emergency medicine, which is another 2 years. So it's either 5 or 6 years of training. So it's a level of training much higher than a regular ER doctor or a regular pediatrician in the community, because you have to do this extra fellowship, which is an additional 2 to 3 years, depending on which venue you took first.
So there's a difference between pediatrician and pediatric emergency care physician. Can you explain the difference between pediatric emergency training and general emergency training?
Yeah, so if you take your child to see a general ER physician, they did 3 years of training in residency. And so with 3 years of training, they have to do internal medicine, surgery, geriatrics, OBGYN, all those things. So really, the amount of training is probably several months, like 6 months, maybe 9 months in pediatrics. But to see a pediatric emergency medicine physician, the difference is you had 3 years of pediatrics to become a pediatrician, and then 3 more years of taking care of the sickest children that come into a pediatric hospital. And so you have 6 years of training versus a couple months worth of training in pediatrics. So it's a big difference. It's just the only thing that we have focused on our entire lives is how to take care of that child, as opposed to taking care of everybody and everything kind of stuff.
So that's how you're really unique as a pediatric emergency care doctor, and sounds like ultra specialized, although your knowledge for emergency rooms always has to be quite broad. Let's talk about the environment and also the equipment. How is the equipment in a pediatric emergency department different from that in a general ER?
This is a big focus around the entire country, is pediatric readiness in emergency departments, because it does take very specialized equipment, because children are much smaller. So you have to have very small equipment that is capable of producing the results that you need. So in order to intubate a patient, which to put a breathing tube down for them, to kind of put them on a ventilator, you have to have ventilators that have smaller capabilities. You have to have intubation tubes that are much smaller. You have to have all the things to be able to see the vocal cords, the glidoscopes, and those that are much smaller also. So you have to be properly equipped. But then also, there's differences just in the trauma rooms. For example, in our resuscitation rooms, the rooms are much, much warmer because kids have a bigger body surface area, and so they give off their heat quicker. And so you need to have that room warmer than in a regular adult emergency department. So in the pediatric trauma room or resuscitation room, it's going to be a much warmer room to try to keep that child warmer in addition to it. And then we also have a lot of other things that are very specialized for children because of their smaller volume. So for example, if you're in adult trauma and you need blood, they can give you blood very quickly using a level one infuser, which just squeezes one entire pint of blood just straight into you quickly. In children, if it's a small child, you can't do that. It has to be measured precisely, given to them, but also it needs to be warm. So we have specialized machines that give a specific amount very quickly, very rapidly, but help to warm up the blood before it goes in. And it's very precise on how much we kind of give children. So everything about children, it's a little bit different on because they're much smaller. You have to be more prepared. You have to have a lot more specialized equipment to be prepared to kind of handle their emergencies.
So really specialized equipment down to the rooms and the environment. Can you give us a sense of what the environment in a pediatric emergency department is like?
Yeah, so we take care of children all the way up until they're in college. So we'll take them all the way up to 21 years of age. So we will see whatever happens to children. That's kind of the sickest children in the whole Tampa Bay area. We will take care of them and help to kind of resuscitate them, get them better. So whatever the worst cases are in the area, they'll oftentimes will get transferred to us. And it takes a pretty special department to do that, because the neat thing is that everybody in our emergency department is specifically trained to take care of kids. So the nurses don't really work on adults, and they just kind of work on kids, which is something you want, because you want them to have that capability of when you have an IV in a little 1 month old baby is much different than getting an IV in a 55 year old, you know, male. So it's very different. They have different training, and you have to do everything just a little bit different. So we have Child Life that sometimes help us to kind of talk to kids and kind of help prepare them for procedures or prepare them for CT scans and help them not be so afraid. So you have to kind of overcome children's fears. And you also have to speak very differently to kids. For example, kids are very straightforward. So for example, if I have a child who has a broken arm who I think needs to be sedated in order to reduce the arm, to kind of straighten that arm out, I don't ever tell them I'm putting them to sleep, because sleep has a negative connotation. For example, nobody likes to go to sleep at night kind of thing, but other kids have actually had their dogs put to sleep and they have a really negative connotation about that. So we don't use the word sleep. We tell them that they're going to take a little nap. Or for stitches, we don't call them stitches, because stitches always has a negative connotation. It's always snitches get stitches, or stitches are scary, all that kind of stuff. So we call them string band-aids. So everything about the environment, we try to make it a friendlier environment, more colorful. We have different lights in there for autistic children. We have a lot of different lights on the walls. We have things that they can be touching, things that they can feel, so that they can not be so scared of their environment. So we try to make everything that they do just a little bit nicer, softer, and just helps distract them a little bit more. And I think that's a real big benefit of going to a pediatric emergency department. It's designed to take care of those kids and help them feel more comfortable.
It really sounds like you've achieved that. In terms of supportive services for families, what can families expect in a pediatric emergency setting?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is that oftentimes parents come to an emergency room because they're scared or something bad happened. Those are the two things. And so one of the biggest things that we try to kind of teach all the physicians that kind of come through here, including residents and all that, is that you really have to find what the parent's underlying fear is. And so one of the big things is we try to make parents more comfortable about their child. And so we really talk a lot about what their child is, how they're doing now, what to look for, what's going to happen next, and just kind of help them through the process, because you really have to guide the parents, because the parents are more concerned about their child than they would ever be about themselves even. So this is their love of their life. This is their children. This is everything to them. So you have to just help guide them kind of slowly through the process and really talk them through on how things are going to work and everything else. And then I think they see how we take care of the kids with Child Life and how we help them calm and soothe the child, and we do all different things. So before we put an IV in, we use special distracting things like a buzzy, like which is a little bee that helps to distract a child by shaking so they don't feel the IV as much, how we use special cold spray so that you don't feel the IV as much. So we do all these special things to try to help their children that you don't really see in an adult ER. And so I think that's one of the big things that parents can expect. They can expect us to really kind of like really focus on the child, but at the same time, help them to understand what's going on with their child better and reduce their fear of what's happening with their child as well.
Mm-hmm. This is so sensitive to the patients with all these positive attributes. I'm wondering, how common are pediatric emergency rooms around the country?
So specialized pediatric emergency rooms, they're not as common. They've been growing over the last couple of years, but it's really a field that has started to grow really since the 90s. So it's still relatively young compared to the rest of medicine. And learning that specialized care for pediatric patients is still relatively new. So really, it's still found mainly in the larger hospitals, at mainly academic teaching centers and larger hospitals. And it's very specialized training. And so what happens is a lot of the outside hospitals will take initial care of a sick child that has to be stabilized and then transfer them to us for that further care, or they'll see the child and send them right to us so that we can get that specialized care to them. But it is primarily more the pediatric emergency departments are seen primarily in the larger areas. Now, we have started to try to make models where we are expanding here at BayCare some of our pediatric emergency rooms to the community and starting to open up more of them in the community. And that's one of the things that we're transitioning to help get that expertise out to the other areas as well.
Well, Dr. Abbanses, we hope we never have to bring our children to the ER, but if we do, it's really comforting to know we have one here specifically for pediatric trauma for children and families. Thank you for all you do to help children and families with emergency pediatric care.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for your time and the listeners for their time. And hopefully we don't have to see them, but if we do, we're here for them.
That was pediatric emergency room physician, Dr. Juan Carlos Abbanses. And that wraps up this episode of BayCare Health Chat. Head on over to our website at baycare.org for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all other BayCare podcasts. For more health tips and updates, follow us on your social channels. If you found this podcast informative, please share on your social media and be sure to check out all the other interesting podcasts in our library.